Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The best estimates of those who study the skies through powerful telescopes suggest that there are at least 70 sextillion, that is, 70 billion trillion stars in more than 100 billion galaxies. There are 200 to 400 billion stars just in our own Milky Way galaxy. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might. And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. We can't even count them all, but he has named them all, and he knows that none are missing. To Abram, before the covenant of circumcision, God says, "Look ye toward heaven, count and number the stars if you can. So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord and counted it to him as righteousness. Every woman is born with as many as 1 million eggs in her two ovaries. Fewer than 1,000 will be ovulated during her life. Fewer still will be fertilized and implant and be formed by God into a child. Still, the Lord says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." The psalmist says of the Lord, "For you formed my inmost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." We can't see this miracle apart from a microscope. And yet he knows our frame and has marked out our days before they even were. Each one of you were one of these eggs, fertilized, implanted, formed in your mother's womb, and then at just the right time, with the very hairs of your head number, and with all of your days marked out for you, you were born into this world. Whether looking at the Lord's creation through a telescope or through a microscope, the Lord's words to Isaiah are true. "To whom then will you compare me? There is no one like your God." The one who made the universe, who put the stars in their place and named them all, who formed you in the womb from a single little cell, he knows you. Your ways are not hidden from him. He has seen, he has heard. Before a word is on your lips, he knows it full well. Is it any wonder then that when Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven and saw the Lord sitting on his glorious throne with the seraphim flying over him singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," that as the earth shook at the Lord's voice, Isaiah cried out saying, "Woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Perhaps these are the words that we should be crying out with our unclean lips as we look through the telescope into the beauty of the heavens, or through a microscope at the miracle of created life. Certainly these are the words we should be using as we come into the presence of the holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. His majesty and holiness, though, are far too much for us. They are overwhelming if we dwell on them for long. The unbelieving world is so afraid of the possibility of a God who formed the heavens, who creates life in the womb, who knows and sees all, that they spend much of their time convincing themselves that he cannot possibly exist, looking for and hoping for some other source of life from outer space to support their unbelief, some other way that they can cheat death for just a few more days, some great cause or work which they can claim holiness from, all while ignoring what is immediately in front of their faces. If their eyes were opened and they saw the world as it really is, as he created it to be, if they could see what is in them, the sin that resides inside of them, what they deserve because of their sin, they would die with fear. Christians, do not rejoice in this. Instead, we pray as we prayed in the collect, Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth, so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Our lot would be the same as the unbelieving world. We would die for fear if our eyes had not been opened to know the truth. Not the truth of some scientific principle or discovery, not the truth of a law of nature, but the revealed by God truth of Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. We never rejoice in the knowledge of our weakness and sin, of our fallenness. We do not rejoice in the death of a sinner. But we are overjoyed in the knowledge of the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth, so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to you. That is the prayer of the believer. A constant struggle against unbelief. A constant struggle to let God have his way in our life. The Lord of heaven and earth, the one who placed the stars into the sky, the one who conceived and took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary, he joyfully went and endured the cross and its scorn. He suffered death and was placed into a tomb for all of you. The unbelieving world rejoiced at his death, while those who followed and believed in him wept. But on the third day, their sorrow was turned into joy. Because your Lord and Savior triumphed over death and the grave, because you have been baptized into his death and his resurrection, your victory will be just like his. You will triumph over death and the grave too. Your victory will be full and complete, just like his was. One day, your sorrows will be turned into full joy, and no one can take that joy away from you. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall by the side exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. The one who is your strength and your life is Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he knows you. He has not disregarded your cause. Wait for him. Let him renew your strength in his own body and blood given and shed. He went to the cross and died for you, that in spite of your sin and weakness, in spite of your doubt and your unclean lips, you would have eternal life in His name. In the midst of this incredible creation, in this unbelievable life that we have been given, we are still in death. But Jesus has conquered death, and He reigns above the heavens and the earth, and you are His precious creation. As vast as the heavens above, or as tiny as a little fertilized egg in its mother's womb, there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The joy of Jesus' resurrection and life is yours today and every day. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.